In a new report card, the former commission chair and vice chair, Tom Kaine and Lee Hamilton, highlight nine major areas they say the government has yet to address. Although Vice Chair Hamilton says, in general, the nation's readiness for a national emergency is a lot better today than it was 10 years ago.
It's noticeable. Go back to 9/11, look at Katrina, which was very poorly handled, then the oil spill, better handled. Down to Irene, we're getting better at dealing with catastrophic events in this country.
But commissioners say some of the recommendations have languished in Congress, and in some cases, they've been flat-out ignored, especially in cases where the recommendations dealt with the reform of Congress itself. Several commissioners say Congress's failure to consolidate its oversight over the Homeland Security Department is the most disappointing failure in terms of implementing the recommendations. Kaine, the former chairman and a former New Jersey governor, says most of the jurisdiction over DHS needs to be brought under the umbrella of the House and Senate Homeland Security Committees.
This would avoid what exists now with almost 100 committees and subcommittees that the DHS secretary reports to. That's confusion. It's not oversight. It makes it dysfunctional. It means that the Homeland Security Department spends so much time preparing and testifying that they're not spending enough time protecting us, which is the prime job.
Kaine and Hamilton spoke at an event at the Bipartisan Policy Center in Washington, where they now co-chair the center's National Security Preparedness Group. The report card cites an example of the confused policymaking the former panelists are talking about. The Senate Commerce Committee is in charge of the TSA and, consequently, for legislation dealing with security rules for air cargo screening. But the Senate Homeland Security Committee has jurisdiction over customs and border protection and the rules around maritime cargo screening. Commissioners contend those two DHS components should be enforcing the same rules and be overseen by the same congressional committees. Former Washington Senator Slade Gordon, a former member of the Intelligence Committee and of the 9/11 Commission, says it's counterproductive for lawmakers to keep protecting their individual subcommittee turf. In fact, he says, Congress's overall authority over DHS would increase if it were more centralized.
It's that division of authority. Even on the Intelligence Committee, the people from the Pentagon and the CIA didn't really have to pay a great deal of attention to us. The great advertisement, it seems to me, for Congress itself is, look, you've forfeited all of the movement in this direction to the administration by splitting up the authority. They should be motivated by the fact that if it were consolidated in just two or three or four committees, the authority, the influence of Congress over what goes on would be greatly enhanced.
Another recommendation for congressional reform that Congress has failed to enact surrounds the way lawmakers fund the activities of the intelligence community. U.S. spending on intelligence activities has doubled since 9/11, and Kaine says that spending has not been adequately supervised.
The basic issue here is that the intelligence committees don't control the purse. And as you know, agencies listen to the congressional committees who do control the purse. Currently, the House and Senate Appropriations Committees fund the intelligence agencies through the defense subcommittees and a DOD budget. At a minimum, separate intelligence communities subcommittees should be established.
Commissioners say the slow process by which the government appoints and confirms presidential appointees is also a national security concern. They say it contributed to the failure to connect the intelligence dots on 9/11. There are some 3,000 positions in government that must be confirmed by the Senate, and Gordon says that process is badly broken.
There are all kinds of really good people who just aren't going to fill out the application forms in the first place because they're so intrusive. We're so worried about perceived, sometimes minor, conflicts of interest. People get savaged over relatively minor things. When you can't get people, many of the people you want to take the office in the first place, and if they do agree to do it, they go through 6 months or a year of hell before they're ever allowed to take the office in the first place. A bit more trust, not so much detail in the application form, and an agreement by the Senate to deal very, very promptly with nominations that require Senate approval is a national security issue.
Then there's the organization of the intelligence community itself. The report card says the government has made huge strides in improving information sharing among intelligence agencies, but the organization that was supposed to coordinate and oversee that integration, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, isn't what the commission had in mind. Former Navy Secretary John Lehman, another former commissioner, says the ODNI was supposed to be a lean but powerful office that could tear down intelligence stovepipes.
The fact is the DNI does not have the power that the title implies. And the staff has grown to over 2,000 people when we envisioned something less than 300. And it's not unique to the intelligence community, quite the contrary. It afflicts all the agencies of the government. But in intelligence and the need for agility and sharing, it remains a very dangerous problem.
Another item on the list of unfinished business, the creation of an executive branch board to be a watchdog for potential civil liberties violations. Legislation has been enacted to create that board, but so far only two of the five members have been appointed by the president, and neither of them has been confirmed by the Senate. Hamilton says the president needs to
appoint the remaining three members, get them confirmed by the Senate, give them a budget, and let them go to work. Now, the reason that's important is that every argument since 9/11 has really been one on the security side. The security people come up with ideas that need to be implemented to strengthen their abilities to keep the nation more secure. They can make a very powerful case for that, but we have given in the process a lot of powers of intrusion by these intelligence groups into the lives and the privacy of Americans. You very much need a robust board with a lot of power that can push back and make the argument in support of protection of our core values and of our civil liberties and privacy.
Also among the unaddressed recommendations highlighted by the former commissioners, a secure biometric screening system for the entry and exit of visa holders. The entry half of that equation was accomplished by the U.S. visit program. The exit portion has not. Nationwide standards for identification documents, including driver's licenses and birth certificates. The implementation of the Real ID Act that would address that has been pushed back to 2013. Legislation to give a clear legal framework for the indefinite detention of terrorist detainees. Commissioners say the Congress and the President have been derelict in their duty on that score. And a nationwide system of interoperable radio systems for first responders. Former commission member and former Illinois Governor James Thompson says it's foolish that many police and fire departments still can't communicate with each other and with state and federal partners in the event of an emergency.
Lives were lost on 9/11 because the police couldn't talk to the firemen. That should have been lesson number one. And then comes Katrina, another demonstration that first responders couldn't talk to each other to mitigate suffering and death. And now Irene, they still can't talk to each other.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.